please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
I'm back on now, and I was told that a few people could not hear me. I hope that everybody can hear me at this point. I wanted to talk about the uneven playing field of people of color when we are held to a higher accountability related to other individuals. And what I mean by that is that 2012, a GOP candidate named Herman Cain was a black millionaire who was running for the president of the United States of America. And he was very popular, had some great ideas, was a great businessman. He was a CEO of a major corporation. He knew how to put people to work. And his popularity was growing. And the minute something came up, it destroyed him, was that he had been accused of sexually harassing or participating in extramarital affairs with white females. And within weeks, his candidacy was destroyed, and he had to withdraw from the race. And I was listening to a African-American reporter who talked about some of the things that Donald Trump has done, and had Barack Obama done anything similar to those things, he would not be president of the United States of America. And so we just want to talk about some of the simple things that relate to Donald Trump that would made him, if he were a black man, unacceptable as president. Donald Trump has had 5 children from 3 different women. Now, could you imagine Barack Obama running for president had he had 5 children from 3 different women? Had he committed adultery, would he be acceptable as president? Had Michelle posed in the nude for a magazine, would we have voted for her as the first lady? And, you know, you can go on and on. You know, had Barack Obama made some of the statements that Donald Trump made against white reporters related to blood coming out of our eyes or blood coming out of you know where. And so, you know, it's just incredible to me that white America can so easily look over these indiscretions of Donald Trump, knowing that men of color could not come nowhere near making similar statements and still have credibility to run for president of the United States of America. And so I just want to talk about how do we continue to fight to create an even playing field? How do we get white America to understand the difference from being growing up in color and growing up white, and how they give themselves additional options regardless of how they may live their lives? And in that, there can never be a true fair America if we're willing to live at these diametrically opposed rules. If one set of rules govern white behavior and another set of rules govern people of color behavior, how many people have been being eliminated from the opportunity to get to a higher place, a higher job situation, or a higher status because they are eliminated for the least amount of errors, but their counterparts are given all kinds of reasons to overcome their discretion? I see that, Andre, you're out there. You know, and I just want to talk about how we're held so much more accountable. Here you have a man like Herman Cain, who was a millionaire, had been a CEO of Godfather Pizza, and had a lot of different permanent jobs. You look at people like Clarence Thomas, who did become a judge on the Supreme Court, but who was nearly brought down because of his transgressions. But yet, we see the kinds of things Donald Trump is giving a pass on. What are your thoughts about the uneven playing field and the way that there are two sets of rules for white America and people of color?
Well, I think that's the way it has been, and I think we are very familiar with it. I think that's probably the reason why Mr. Herman withdrew. He knew that being a black man, that would not be something that he would be able to overcome. It's not fair, but surely that's the world that we live in. And to answer your questions, no, it is not an even playing field. And it just goes to remind us that our president and our first lady was really ruled, if you would, not necessarily knowing their destiny to reach the presidency, but they had to have their life in order. And you have to believe that they have searched every crook and cranny to try to come up with something. And I'm just thankful. I do give thanks that this was a couple in which we really should truly role model.
And that's one of the things that brings so much hardship or detriment, is that here we have a president who never struck out in anger, who never said ugly and things to people who clearly were disrespectful to him. And so we live in an environment where we are held so much more accountable and the rules are so much clearer and distinctive for us, and that they can get away with being racist. They can get away with saying these sexual deviant things and still have an opportunity to hold the highest office in the land. It is amazing to me that every one of those little incidents that Donald Trump has overcome would have brought down any other person of color without question. I mean, it is amazing to me that he can continue to make off-the-cuff statements related to people of color, about women, about veterans, and continue to run. And we all know that had Barack Obama said any of those things, he would have been discounted. You know, had he had an affair with anybody, he would have been destroyed. And so we just need to talk about is it any way capable of creating an environment where the playing field is fair? Kathy, do you ever think we'll live in a time where there will be only one set of rules for all Americans? Are you there, Kathy? 3060. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Can you still hear me, Andre?
Yes, I can hear you. I couldn't hear you for a moment at the beginning, but I can hear you now. But it will happen. I think it'll happen over time, but we'll have to constantly require it to happen. We as a people, and I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about we as citizens of the United States, will have to require it, because you will have to ask yourself, Donald Trump is really only one person. So why is it that this is acceptable? You know, I think the Republican Party regret on several occasions that they didn't take steps earlier. Obviously, I mean, he has millions of people that's following and supporting him, and this race is close. I would again, as I've said from the very beginning, don't go with numbers unless people actually come out and vote. You won't know the outcome, and then you may not even know the outcome. It just kind of depend on, you know, how much people are going to push back and forth of verifying the counts and that type of thing. But to answer your question, I think it will come a time, at least I do hope so, but we'll have to constantly get the right people working together. We as a country will have to require that it happens. I think this whole election, like you say, it's been very unique and disappointing in so many ways. But I think this may be what it takes for people to come together, because in most cases, whenever you have a major event, it is during those times that people put aside things and unify. So I pray that will be the good that come out of these last 12 or 14 months that we've been experiencing.
But one of the things I think are going to have to take place, Andre, is that we're going to have to impress upon white America the need to show some type of fairness. It is just not anywhere near fair for a candidate running for president to make statements like, oh, I can stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and won't lose any of my support. And so you allow one candidate to be able to say those kind of statements, but then you want to hold everybody to a presidential level, especially people of color. You know, it's just insane that this man can talk about the way that African Americans are living. You know, that I'm just going to go on record and say this. I am 56 years of age, and I have never lived in any ghetto in my entire life. I was born to a mother who was a teacher, and I was born, my father was a construction owner. we lived in an area called Richmond Heights, which was an up and growing white, black community. Nothing but African Americans, a new community that was built. You paid like $90 down on your home. We had a 3-bedroom brick home and one bath. And that was a community full of African Americans. I want you to understand that we were the first group of African Americans to live in a housing area constructed for African Americans. Everyone had nice homes, nice yards. And I started that in elementary school. And so for Donald Trump to suggest that all African Americans have had one standard of living, that we all lived in neighborhoods where you couldn't walk down the street. I was never here in any here in Orlando, Florida, in fear of my life. I've never went to school in places where I didn't feel comfortable or had an opportunity to be educated. And so I'm just concerned that he is allowed to make these statements painting all African Americans with one brush. I do realize there are communities throughout America that need help, that need the opportunity for advancement, who need the opportunity for good schools, who need the opportunity to live a better and safer life in a safer environment. But when you press, when you suggest that Black America is at its worst, I'm just concerned about who in the world are you talking about? What African Americans, all of us don't live in the same situation. And we need, there are African Americans who need a hand up, but to make the suggestion that we're all in the same environment is just ludicrous. And that was what Donald Trump made the statement he continues to make. Your schools are no good. You don't have no jobs. What, you know, what do you have to lose? What are your thoughts about when you heard him make that statement?
Well, I tell you what, that's a broad statement to reflect a whole race of people. And you have demonstrated, like you said, the example that you have, and there's many others. But anytime you try to classify an entire race into one scenario, you're mistaken. It's housing areas in which there's problem in all communities of all cultures. And I think, like you said, the pride of whatever you have, wherever you are, because I would venture to say people who are in housing environments, I give thanks for them. At least they have a home. They have a place to stay. And surely it may be an environment in which they're going to strive to do better and get out of, but they have a home, as many homeless as we have in this country. And believe you me, they're not all blacks. You know, you never put anyone down. One thing I was raised, my parents raised our family to, whatever you have, be thankful for it. And always make sure it's the best that it can be. Whatever you can do, let it be your very best. So whatever I have, it may not be as fine as yours. It may not be as big as yours. But believe you me, I worked hard for it, and I'm very appreciative of it. And, you know, all of us really are in different scenarios, different situations, different journeys. But to paint such a broad brush across our entire race is not applicable and it's not true. But he's an influencer, you know, and sometimes when people don't take the time to look at and listen to a statement and try to understand what it's truly saying, you know, they'll fall for those things. Because I can tell you, blacks are frustrated that more did not occur under our current president. And I'm not going to say that that's not a true statement. So he's using that expression to try to assist with change. But if you think about it, Now, take your emotions out for a minute. And I know you've been a Hillary supporter since day one, but just put your emotions to the side for just a moment. If you reflect back and when President Obama first ran, it was very similar to how people were feeling. They wanted a change. They wanted someone that was very upbeat and outspoken and just had some pizzazz about himself. And those two qualities, you have to admit, Trump has. And they're looking for, you know, they want anything they could do to get away from the Republican President Bush thing they would do. So you have a lot of people now, the tables have just flipped. And I think that's where we are. But we'll see what happens. We'll see how many people go out to vote. That's the key.
Well, one of the things, what I'm talking about, what was so distasteful about him suggesting that all African Americans lived in the same environment, I want to just, you know, reflect on again, and I'm not trying to talk like I'm anything special because I don't believe that at all. But I remember as a child growing up catching the bus going to South Carolina. We would catch the bus, stop in Jacksonville, and stop in a number of places. And I just thought the bus was a economical way to get wherever you wanted to go. I didn't know any better, and I felt fine with the bus. Then at one point, my parents had graduated to the point where I could fly to Detroit, I could fly to Hartford, I could fly to South Carolina. And then, you know, I'm just saying that a lot of African Americans have made a lot of different advancements around the country. I knew what it was to own land. My family owned land in South Carolina. I knew what it was to see people buying cars and having access to new cars around me. Here in Orlando, we have a lot of different areas where African Americans live on lakefront property and live in nice homes and live in nice communities. And so I'm just trying to say that. And I know that that's true all over the country. When you listen to know that there are people in Atlanta who are African Americans are making great strides in Atlanta and in Houston and in Los Angeles and Dallas. All over the country, there are people who are making outstanding advancements, and we have a lot of people who are in all kind of different economical classes. And for this man to suggest that we all live in ghettos show how out of touch he is with the reality of who African Americans are. Regina, I see you on the line now. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, do you think that the African Americans in Columbia and in South Carolina have made great advancements to getting themselves in a more comfortable place than they were years ago?
Yes, I do believe that African Americans across the United States have made great strides in as far as education and using that education to lift themselves up by the bootstrap. Now, I heard when, and I'm assuming you're talking about when he was making a speech somewhere yesterday, something about the ghetto. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was yesterday.
Yeah. Now, when I heard the word, it kind of made me flinch. But then I started realizing that I'm not sure if he meant that to be so, if he meant that to be derogatory toward blacks as a whole. I'm thinking what he was trying to say with his limited verbiage is that he was going to work to, he was saying that we had too many ghettos, or we had ghettos across the United States that have been underserved. Now that's just my opinion. And I'm thinking that his vocabulary is so limited, and somebody either is just allowing him to use these stupid words, or he knows what he's doing, and I'll hold to this. He's setting himself up to fail so that Hillary can succeed. Because there's no way that he can continue to make the errors that he's making intentionally.
Well, one of the things that
the scary part about that, Regina, let me say it, if you don't mind, because I've heard that over and over again, that, you know, he's just running and he really don't want to win. And if you go down that same path of thinking, if he is trying to do everything that he can not to win, and I don't believe that's true, but if he is, it's unfortunate that as many people are not on board with his thinking. I mean, you're talking about millions of people across the United States definitely are voting for him. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to see more signs pop up in my neighborhood here more recently than from the very beginning, which I would have thought, if I'm going down that same thought process that you are saying, that, you know, a person may have been on board at first, but then, you know, when you start seeing current behavior and current actions and thoughts, you would pull those signs up. But no, I'm seeing more and more Trump signs now than I ever have. And he has indicated that he's not ashamed to say it, that he's pumping money, his own money, into his campaign. As a matter of fact, he was trying to say that, you know, Hillary Clinton is not putting money in from her personal, at least not at the percentage he is, into the campaign for herself. So I think he's being who he is. And I know he's a man that's kind of different and out of power and that type of thing, but I don't know if he would go to this extreme. I mean, he's playing these states that are in jeopardy. I mean, he's visiting as much as he can and stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if he would do that. But if it's just a strategy to go just buck wild and just surely nobody would elect me. Unfortunately, everybody didn't get the memo. At least they don't understand it, because they definitely are planning to vote for him, because the scary piece of it is people are passionate about him becoming president, so much so that they're ready to be violent if necessary. That's why we've noticed an increase of just people just really being short with each other and just making some bad choices.
Well, Andre, now, when we talk about commitment, I heard stated, and you know I listen to the news over and over again on all different sources, that he last deposited only about $35,000 into his campaign, and that none of his children have invested any money into his campaign. And right now, he is, if I heard correctly, is so far behind Hillary Clinton in terms of the amount of money still left in their campaigns that they say he needs an infusion of money very quickly to compete in terms of television ads and so forth. So,
you may be right, because that may be the fact find, because I was just going by what I heard him say. And we do know that he'll say some things that's not necessarily turn out to be factual. And so just as I just listened to what he said and took it at face value, a lot of people listen to what he say and take it at face value. And he have no problem, because on the interview that he was doing, he was really showing, you know, strong expressions of being frustrated that, yes, he's putting money into this campaign and Hillary is not. But, yeah, like you say, when you research it and do the facts, it is a true statement, but it's a lot less than what he implies. And oftentimes that is the case when you do fact find. But I didn't stop the fact find. I just went with what he has said, and that's what millions of others are doing.
Well, one of the things I just want to say, too, is in terms of the African-American environment, when we talk about African-Americans, we need to really talk about and think about, there's so many things for us to be proud about and excited about. I know that when I look back at the HBCUs and I look at how they're growing and how they're changing and how they're still full of African Americans who want to further their education, and then you still have a growing percentage of African Americans who are looking to go to college at other schools, major white institutions. And I sit there and I think about, there is a growing population of African Americans who are out there doing what they need to be doing, who we need to be honoring and who we need to be praising and who we need to be emulating. And so when he makes these statements about how terrible our environment, he is not looking at some of the things that we should be excited about. Notable people who are now one of the most outstanding Olympic teams, gymnastic teams we've ever had, that had two African Americans on it. We had a notable individual who was a gold medal winner in swimming. We compete in places and areas that we've never competed before. And so we continue to dominate and escalate our abilities in this environment. And for him to make these statements about how terrible things are for us, I just think it's just inappropriate, but he's not looking at the bigger picture. Regina, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree that what he's saying is inappropriate as far as what was stated about it's unfortunate that so many people are following him. It is unfortunate, but this is what has come about as a result of his way, in my opinion, I just cannot believe that someone with as much money as he has can spew as much inaccurate, racist information as he does.
You don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it, Regina. You're exactly right. You just can't even imagine it. It's ridiculous. You don't want to just believe it.
So what I truly, as I said before, if he is a real person, and if we are not being pranked, if he is really real, I'm literally, I'm not going to say that I'm afraid, but I'm leery. If he doesn't get it, these folks are really going to be shooting. They're talking about carrying their guns to the poll. That's why you have so many people going and doing, in our state, the absentee voting, because they don't want to go out on that day. But they do want to exercise the rights that they have now.
I believe you're on to something, and I do too, because I was thinking that, man, I'm scheduled to be out of town on that day, and my thing of it is, the next day when I'm supposed to be trying to get a flight in, what will be the pulse of the people? Because I do believe people are going to be very in an uproar, and you're right. It's something to be concerned about.
I think that speaks to the issue of white America and where he is being catered to these far, far right individuals who don't have the ability to control their common sense. I mean, we have lived in years of being given George Bush, Ronald Reagan, and all kind of people that we didn't like, and we didn't try to overthrow the government. So I don't know what it is that he's been catering to these white racist individuals who find themselves as though they want to talk about a revolution against America because they don't get the person they want in office. Again, I surely didn't get who I wanted when I wanted Gore in office and I got George Bush. And so many times I've had to wait for my turn again related to the people I wanted to elect.
Well, James,
but your logical thinking is not in a line with millions of people during this time right now.
But, you know, I find it crazy even that the number of Republicans who are running away from him, that there's still so many millions of them who want him. And so you know, you in a way that you're right there. There has to be a lot of common sense thinking white Americans who find him to be acceptable.
Well, I tell you what, here in South Carolina, our governor, Nikki Haley, has recently said this week that she is not a Trump supporter, but she's voting for him for the sake of policy. So you have a lot of people that are just refusing to understand that his mindset is so ludicrous that he could actually destroy the world with just the push of a button.
Would you repeat again what you said? What did you say your governor said, Regina?
Oh, that she's not a Trump supporter, but she's going to vote for him for the sake of policy.
Yeah, and I think President Obama said a statement, and I'm not sure exactly what, so I better not quote it, but, yeah, it's a lot of Republicans saying that. I'm not for him, I don't stand with it, but I'm voting for him. Are you kidding?
Right.
Are you kidding?
That is exactly what she said. She was actually a Rubio Cruz supporter, more of a Rubio, I believe. And once they were out, everybody was just wondering what was going to happen. And then we had the floods, and she said, and she kind of diverted the attention away from herself during that time by saying that she was more into and interested in helping our state with the flooding issue, you know, Hurricane Matthew. And so they finally got to ask her this week again, and that was the statement that she gave.
Well, you know, I feel so sorry for those people who are willing to vote for their party over the best interests of America. And that's, you know, I have a lot of respect for those Republicans who've said that they will not vote for Donald Trump and that they will, maybe they won't vote for Hillary, but they will not cast a vote for Donald Trump. I have respect for them. And I have even more respect for the ones who recognize that Hillary Clinton is a much better choice and someone who has credibility not only in our country but around the world. We are looking like as the laughingstock of the world when you bring into the opinions of other people. In Denmark, they got buses of Donald Trump where the wheels are his eyeballs, and it makes you look like he's going nuts. And I just think that's a terrible thing. Yes, in Denmark, they painted some of their buses to look like Donald Trump, and the wheels are like his eyeballs. And you know how when you had a spinning eyeballs, you know, they say you look crazy. So around the world, he is not thought of as anybody who has any true credibility. And we're going from somebody like President Barack Obama and Michelle, who have a great deal of respect around the world, to somebody as foolish as Donald Trump. Even being in competition for the White House is just ridiculous.
But you know what? What I just thought about, folk have been saying, and I think he said this, and a lot of Republicans, when they're trying to sway us to the Republican Party, that the Democrats have been using African Americans for their vote. Now, you tell me what is happening with these folk when they know that they have someone who is inadequate to be president, but yet they're going to stick with the Republican Party. That is what they're saying about extremely hypocritical. They're sticking with that party in spite of, just like they say, African Americans stick with the Democratic Party.
Well, I want to just tell you all, and again, going on record, I vote what's in my best interest. If the Republican Party showed any kind of credibility related to dealing with the issues that I think are important, I would consider them. But they never put anybody forward who thinks about the poor. I am one of those people who think that, listen, I've had a great opportunity, I've had a good ride, my life has been fine, but I think about the American people as a whole. So I not only want my life to be better, but I want those who might be finding some issues with finding health insurance, who might find some issues with finding good housing, who might find some issues with trying to make it to go to college. I care about other individuals other than myself, and the Republican Party does not seem to have an interest in the population that is below the middle class. And so that is why I have stuck with supporting the Democratic Party. So I'm not sure when they bring that forth and say that, you know, we've been lied to by the Democratic Party, that the Democratic Party just takes our vote and then don't support us. I think the Democratic Party has always been actively involved in helping those people who need a hand. And Audrey, I think, you know, and you and I and Regina all went to school during the same time. I mean, I always believed that, you know, when they said, you know, one of the slogans was, a mine is a terrible thing to waste. You know, coming from a middle-class family, I always felt like the guys who had poor parents were better off than me because they were getting a lot more money than I was. I had to live off of the $20 my mom sent me every week. But I had friends of mine whose parents couldn't send them anything, but they were getting $2,000 check from a Pell Grant. And so, you know, a lot of times I wish I didn't have to use my parents' income tax because I could never get any money. So that's the way I was feeling when I was back in college, because there seemed to be a lot of money floating around for a lot of different college students. And sometimes having parents who were less, with less paying jobs was a benefit.
And I'm not sure.
Regina, do you remember those days when people was? Regina, do you remember those days when people went to the business office to pick up their checks?
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. Yes, sir. I remember those days. And you're absolutely
Audrey,
right.
Audrey, did you have that experience? Did you have that experience when you went up there to pick up your check?
Well, maybe I was the one on the receiving end. I didn't receive a check for it, but I tell you what, it applied to my tuition, and I had to supplement that by working as a resident assistant or whatever. But I didn't ever get a check beyond. I had to have work study to complement, whatever my balance was. And my parents was hard workers, but again, our family, as large as it is, and the type of pay that it was paying, I needed help. But I'm thankful that it was there.
Well, I tell you, I remember the Democratic Party and how they pushed for those funds to be available, and they've always been supportive of the Pell Grant system, and it continues now. And I just think that, you know, when people make these statements about the Democratic Party and how they cheated the African Americans, I just don't know what they're talking about. I know that I'm truly the kind of person who votes his best interest. And if there was another party that suggested they were going to do better for me, I would listen. And they would have to do better than saying, what do you have to lose? I mean, who in the world vote for somebody who says, what do you have to lose? I got a lot to lose.
Millions, millions will vote for that statement because they are not satisfied with what they have now, and they figure what they have isn't good, so it's an opportunity. It's just like people go out to Las Vegas somewhere or whatever, to a casino or something like that. Or insurance. Insurance people, in essence, you're paying for life insurance. You're paying such that if when you die, you'll have insurance. You'll have, funds and stuff for your family. So you're going from the fact that when you die that you'll have this. And the insurance company is saying, okay, in the meantime, it's going to be years before you die. And I'm going to just keep collecting your money. And I may or may not have to pay out, just depending on if you keep paying on time and or if you reach a certain age limit or how much the payout will be. So their position is that, hey, I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm not doing too well. I might as well try something different, a change.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I know that I believe that we have a voice, and we have to continue to make sure our voices are heard, and we have to talk up against people like Donald Trump, who makes these stereotypic statements related to African Americans. And again, I say, as I move around the country, as I move around my city of Orlando, I see poverty in certain places, but I also see prosperity in a lot of places. And so when he talks about the plight of African Americans, I think he just has no true clue of where we came from and what environment we now find ourselves living in. And that all of us want to do better. All of us have dreams and aspirations, and we want to do better, but we're not all stuck in the same place, and so time has not moved forward. And so I suggest that Donald Trump is some kind of, an anonymity, that we're going to get through this and past this, and that he truly will not ever be have the key to any weapons of mass destruction, because I think the man is mentally ill. I listen to him talk, and I want to ask you and encourage you sometime to endure listening to his speeches. And so, because I really find that what they say about him is true. If you pick apart his speeches, you'll find the man does not speak in complete sentences. He's jumping from one thing to another. You really would not know from listening to his speeches that he was a very intelligent man. He swears that he's an intelligent man, but sometimes we need to question how much intelligence he has. When you're willing to say to people who have been in the army for years and years, who studied war to no end, and you say you have a better plan at how to deal with war than they do, that says a lot to me about who you are when you have convinced yourself that you have the intelligence over people who've been involved in war and in the military for years, and you know more about what they need to do than they do. Regina, what do you think about that? He says arrogance about knowing everything.
I'm just going to, as you say, just go on the record for saying this. I think we give him too much attention. I think that what we've got to do over these next 12 days is make sure that people are not complacent, and make sure people are not thinking that so many other folks have come to the conclusion that he's crazy, and of course he's not going to get into office, that we stay home. We've got to make sure that folk understand that we have to go out and vote to make sure that he does not get into office, because he is rallying those troops. The people are coming out of the mountains and the foothills, and they're going to be there voting, and he will get it if we stay home, we've got to stop talking and start putting our feet to the pavement, knocking on doors, making sure people know you've got to vote. Watch out
Amen.
When you go to the polls. Make sure that when you press that button, the check stays by, hopefully, Madam President Hillary Clinton. Make sure you move all the way across as you vote to the people who are running for offices on the local elections. Make sure that if you're getting absentee or early ballots, that those ballots are complete. We've got to make sure people are intelligently voting. I don't give a rip about Donald Trump. Even if he gets into the office, there's nothing I can do. He has less chance of touching me. He has less of a chance than the people who actually...
Okay, Regina, I'm going to give you your last words for the day. We're at the end of another show. What are your last words for today, Regina?
Two words, go vote.
That's right. You know, when we heard Michelle Obama, and I want to give some shout-out to Michelle Obama, wherever she goes, she brings a lot of class to the world. And she was so outstanding, and I think it was North Carolina, when she spoke, and what she said was, you know, we have to, when they go low, we go vote. When they go low, we go vote. And that's what we got to do.
Yes.
And I wish we could have another four more years of Barack Obama, but I have a great deal of respect for Michelle, and I want her to go away for a little while and really think about possibly running in the future. I just find her to be an exciting and intelligent individual, and I just hope that she decides at some point to run for public office.
Yes, I think that there's been word that she is going to run for Senate. I'm not sure where, for what district she would run for, but that would be great, wouldn't it?
I mean, she's just an outstanding individual. I have so much regard for her and her abilities to deal with the onslaught of a backlash that she's had to deal with and still be such a classy woman. RJ, what are your final thoughts for today?
I would like to concur Regina's strategy plan before you cut her off. She was on a roll. So I just say amen to what she was saying.
He cut me off, Audra. That's what he did. He cut me off.
You was laying it out. I love it.
Well, Regina, I ran into some technical difficulties. So what was it were you saying that is excited Audra so?
Nothing. Go ahead. Audra, you got it right. We okay.
Well, I want to let
yes,
you know
indeed.
I feel like I don't miss out. You know, I had some difficulty and I had to play a song right away, and then I found another way to get back on, and now I hear tell you made some statements that I needed to hear, and now you don't want to repeat them.
No, it's time to get off the air now. Let's see. We're at 2 minutes.
Well, let me just tell you. Let me just say this kind of sarcastically. You know, I want Hillary Clinton to win. I believe she is an outstanding candidate. I think she has more experience than anybody who has ran before her. And I just truly want her to be given the opportunity to be the first woman to be president of the United States of America. But with saying that, if Donald Trump were to find a way to win, it would be I would just love to throw – I mean, I'd love white America to have to eat crow. You know, this man would be so destructive to our country if he were to win. And sometimes, you know, you pour salt in the wound to make it better and not get infected. And so sometimes, you know, you need to let some people have what they ask for just so they'll know that they don't want to have it no more. And I really believe that this is going to be the last time that the Republicans are going to be able to put forth this kind of person and make us this frightened, because more and more as the numbers of people of color grow, we're going to have more of a word to say about this. I'm so proud of African-Americans who support Donald Trump at such low levels. He is nowhere even near 10%. With African-American support. I don't know where he is with the Hispanic support, but I'm sure that is as low as well. And I just thank God that we have the ability to have our eyes open, and one day hopefully white America open their eyes and see the kind of devastation they're taking our country in. Well, I'm going to call it a day, and we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Remember, on Saturday, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection comes to you at 8 o'clock. This is our opportunity to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear, and we want to make sure that people know what it is we're thinking and what we're saying, and not allow anyone to speak for us, because we are more than able to speak for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Look forward to us talking about the issues that impact our world today and in the future. Take care, everybody.